Let's start our study tonight. There will be others joining us in this. But we're talking about the believer in the church. And let's just take the first page. The first page is an introductory page to a whole section on the church. And then the next page following that is the first chapter on the subject. And there will be several chapters on this particular subject in the book. This particular book was not written by those who were out of Baptist congregations, although they acknowledge pretty much what the Bible gives us on this subject. They do that very well. I think that Woodbridge was out of the Presbyterian Church. That's an interesting viewpoint that he has on some things. But he ends up on the Baptist side of most issues. There's some good material here. Just to clarify things, notice the first line in this thing, in his quest after holiness, that's a believer pursuing holiness in his life. And again, what in the world do we mean by holiness? It's a tremendously important that we don't have this ethereal kind of idea that holiness is some kind of a personal spirituality. It goes beyond that. Holiness is the absolute and infinite integrity of God. A holy life is a life of integrity. And you'll notice that what we are pursuing is not a life of super spirituality as such. Because what is more spiritual than integrity? And how can you be a spiritual person if you don't have integrity? Is that possible? It's not possible. And it is important that we understand that our quest is for integrity in our personal life and our ministry, in every dimension, every dynamic of our life. And here he talks about the need of our companionship with other people who are walking with God like we are. They are in the same situation in life. They're fighting the same battles. They're fighting the same struggles. I would hope that this describes believers. We all have struggles. Yes. 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 All right. We all have need for divine help. We all have weak areas. We all have a process of strengthening that we want to take place in our life. These things are going on, and it's tremendously helpful and useful for us to share our life and experience with those who are going through the same thing. And so in our quest for spiritual integrity in life and ministry and all our new relationships when we're birthed into the family of God, as a child of God, man does not walk alone. It's tremendously important. These are days when the local church is being totally de-emphasized. There's something about American culture that where everybody is independent and doesn't need anybody else. We all have what we need, and we all have our little world. We all have our own, and for some reason, the independence of the individual in our culture is really detracts from the idea that God says we need each other in a body of believers called the church. So man does not walk alone. He's a member of a new society created or ordained of God for the spiritual health of the corporate fellowship. Now notice those two words. He is a member of a new society, number one, created and ordained by God. The word ordained means appointed or set up, set in place. Created and set in place by God. God decided that this thing, the church, should exist. And we're in Ephesians in our Bible study on Sunday afternoons. I read through that book again today. I just read through the whole book just to refresh my heart and mind in it. And part of this thing is that God has placed Jews and Gentiles, everybody from every age group, from every ethnic group, from just everybody, he places into a personal living relationship with all of those who are believers. And he does this. So you have that word corporate fellowship. Corporate fellowship. What do we mean corporate fellowship? Anybody know what a corporation is? What is a corporation? Tell me what a corporation is. Help me.
It's a
No, it's more, it's more the club. What makes a corporation a corporation? Oh, wow. Where is my pen here? Is it in here? Okay. Now notice at the bottom, your footnote there, that'll help you. What is a corporation? What does it mean, corporate? Comes from what Latin word? Help me. And what is corpus? What is corpus? What? It's a body. What do you live in? You live in a corpse. Do you not? And when the corpse is dead, what do they do with it? They bury it. Okay? You live in a corpse. You live in a corpus. You live in a body. Now, what is your body? Describe your body to me. How many parts does your body have? A whole lot of them. Tell me some of the parts of your body quickly. Hands, eyes, ears, nose, feet, arms, legs, heart. You know, so you've got all of these things that make up a corpus, a corpse, a corpus, if you please. Now, what is a corporation? A corporation is when people get together and legally, instead of each one being liable, they just form a corporate identity and you sue the corporation rather than the individuals in it. We're incorporated as a church. So that if they sue us, they can't sue you as an individual. They have to sue the body as a whole. They can't sue one, the individual members. They can't touch the individual members. So you form a corporation because there's a lot of liability. If you manufacture cars, going to be lawsuits, correct? Going to be a lot of deals, legal deals. You're going to have to, legal things you're going to have to deal with. So you form a corpus, a corporation out of this thing. And the church is a body. It's a corpus. It's a corpus, many members that are all tied in. They share the same life. We're birthed into this thing, and all of us are like a part of a corpus, or part of a corpse. And each one of us is necessary for the function of the body. The body can't function without all the parts. If you have parts that are missing, then you say you are, I don't want to say abnormal, but if you're normal, you've got two hands and 2 feet, is that right? Something is missing, why is something wrong? And so God puts into a body. So the church is a corporate fellowship. It's the fellowship of people that really are not separate as such, because they are all sharing the same life and they are part of, they have an organic living relationship to each other. This hand has an organic living relationship with this hand, but they're two separate hands. Is that right? And hopefully they function together with the same body. Hopefully when this arm goes home tonight, this one's going to go along with it. And hopefully there'll be enough agreement as to they can get along together to where they'll both go the same place at the same time. And so you have this idea of a corporate fellowship. You have this idea of a body. You're a body of believers, literally parts of each other, tied together with the life of Jesus Christ. Okay, so that's one of the concepts that we have in the last sentence of that paragraph. This society is the church of the living God. Now here we have the word church. Okay, now let's talk about the word church. Let's see what we can do with this word church. I didn't do anything with a footnote on that, I think. I did not. Well, the last footnote says there are two ways, the body and a congregation. All right. Heads up, ready to go? All right, now you may have seen this, you may have had this explained, but there's a part of this that generally is left out. Okay, out of these two words comes the word church. This means, is a preposition, means out of, or out from. This means to call. All right, so the basic root of the word church means to call out. But the concept goes farther than that, because that doesn't put it all together. The idea is that people are called out from where they are and from what they're doing so they can all come together. It's a calling out in order to bring together. So you need to write that down. To call out in order that they might bring them together, to assemble them, to congregate them. You call it a congregation. When you congregate, bring them together, assemble. You bring them together into one place, all right? So the idea of calling out is, the purpose is not in the word itself, but the purpose is always in the concept. Ecclesia is a called out assembly of people, but people who are called out in order to come together, okay? So the church cannot exist where people don't come together. Are you getting this? You're called out of your homes, you're called out from what your various aspects of life, to come together into an assembly, into a congregation. Congregation to congregate, to come together, okay? Assembly, to assemble, to come together. So if you wanted to find the nearest or best English word for the word church, if you were going to translate it, you would either say an assembly or a congregation. One of those two words best interprets, better than church, is an assembly. Now, there was a denomination that was named that, Assemblies of God. Well, that comes out of this concept of ecclesia, to call out and assemble together, okay? So they call themselves the Assembly of God. Some people say they call themselves the Church of God. You have in the Bible, you have the reference to the church in the wilderness. Well, it's the congregation in the wilderness. It's the congregated assembly of the people that have been called out from where they are to come together in common purpose and in common endeavor. So there's a meeting together for common purpose. So what happens? What is the concept of the church then? What do we have here? All right, all of us are living in different places, correct? We don't live here. We came here for a specific purpose, correct? We came together to accomplish something. So what you have is people who have been birthed into the family of God and who are members of the body of Christ coming together as a body. The body doesn't exist in one place until it congregates. It doesn't function together until it gets together. Is that true? See? It doesn't function together until it gets together. So the idea of the church is not just attending something, it's being a part of the body and functioning as a part of that body and entering into the God-ordained, God-appointed functions of that body. And in our Christian Life Conference, we talked about that. Does anybody remember what some of the functions of the church are? What are we supposed to do? What is our function as a body? What do? We worship. We, what else?
Fellowship.
We fellowship. We grow spiritually. We engage in spiritual growth. We engage in evangelism. We pray. That's a function of the church. So, but you can't function if you don't come together. And people have the idea, well, I can be a good Christian at home. Well, you can't be a part of the church at home. You just can't. The church doesn't exist in this world unless it gets together. Okay? So getting together and functioning together in what God wants the church to do, and the following chapters will deal with this, in what God wants the church to do. So the church is a called out, people that are called out in order that, for a purpose, that they might come together and function together as a body. You see that? Now, let me get ahead of this a little bit. Well, let's go to the second paragraph, and then we'll get right into this. Second paragraph, Christ is the head of his church. What in the world does the head do to your body? How far is your body going without your head? It's not going anywhere. In fact, you are dead without your head. And the church is dead without its head. And so Christ is the head of the church. He's the one that gives life and direction. He's the one that causes everything to function properly within the church. So people need to be properly related to him. So Christ is the head of his church. Believers are members of his mystical body. What in the world is this word mystical? Look at the third footnote down below. That means having spiritual meaning, a reality that is neither apparent to the senses nor obvious to the intelligence. All right? When you walk down the street, can you tell who is saved and who's not? Just by looking at them? No, you can't. But everybody that's saved has been birthed into the family of God. Is that true? They have a living relationship with Jesus Christ. Is that true? They are joined to Christ. Really, they are. In that sense, they are a member of the body of Christ. Okay? We're joined to Christ. We have living within us Jesus Christ. We have His life in us. But we cannot function as the body of Christ again until we come together with the rest of the body. You don't send your hand and your arm off to work. The whole body goes. You don't function without the whole body together. It takes the whole body to properly function. So the church is not just a matter of attending something, joining something. And by the way, you can't, in the technical sense of the word, you can't join the church. You are born again into the church. Christ believers are members of the mystical body, which finds its outward expression in the visible churches throughout the world in all ages. As members of the body are closely related to the head and to other members, so Christians everywhere, irrespective of race, color, denominational affiliation, are indissolubly linked with Christ the head and with one another in the bonds of doctrine and charity. A good statement. So the church is not a place that we go. It's who's here when we come. Oh, that's a good way to say it. The church is not a place that we go. It's who's here when we come. That's the church. We are the body of Christ. Now we have a building that's a meeting place, and we, for practical reasons, we build a church building and we use it to function. But the function of the church building is not for social purposes. It's for the purpose of functioning as the body of Christ is to function according to the New Testament teachings. The previous section was devoted to a consideration of the believer's personal, individual, particular, and essential vertical relationship to God. What is vertical? Tell me what vertical is. Vertical is up and down. So that's our relationship with God. But he says that this section, while it continues to stress the importance of the individual and vertical relationships, sees man in his corporate, united, and essentially horizontal relationships. That is, relationships with other people alongside of us. He is part of a Christian community which worships God together and expresses its common devotion through divinely instituted means designed for the spiritual enlargement and practical benefit of believers, as well as for the worldwide extension of the faith. So, we have the bold font, as the Church of Jesus Christ, believers gather together. Now, what is the church again? We are called out in order to come together. We're called out from where we are in order that we might come together. So, as the Church of Jesus Christ, believers gather together for the purpose of worship, fellowship, celebration of baptism, the Lord's Supper, mutual encouragement and Christian stewardship through the pooling of their material resources to the glory of God, and for the edification in the things of the Lord. So you'll notice footnote number 4, the church then is both a body and an assembly. Those two ideas, and you have to put them together. Because the body technically, but in the true sense of the, in the sense of the church, the body of Christ cannot exist apart from coming together as a congregation. Your body cannot perform its functions unless the whole body is present. Yes or no? And if your whole body isn't present, you need either a doctor or a mortician. One of the two. Okay. Any questions on this or any observations on this? Remember, we are called out in order that we might come together. So the church then, the body becomes a congregation, and it becomes visible when it gets together as a congregation. Now, there's some technical points in here. Let me just preview them. I'm looking at the clock up there, and I don't want to shortchange you for having made your trip here tonight. I don't want to go too far, because we'll have some others be joining us that are not with us in this part of the discussion. But let me ask you a question at this point, all right? How many people who are born again are joined with Jesus Christ as a member of his body? How many believers? Is there any exception? All right? Everyone who becomes a believer then is a member of the body of Christ. All right. So, does that church have any identification or any ministry unless it comes together? That body does not function unless it comes together. It's a non-functional thing until it comes together. Okay, can you see that? But, now question, when people gather together here on Sunday, are all of them necessarily born again? So all of them are really not members of the body of Christ, are they? They're still alive and alert. Okay. Another question. Then, could someone theoretically join the church and really not be a member of the church? What do you think? Could somebody join the church and still not really be a member of the church? If they're not born again, they're not members of the body, are they? But they could be. They could have their names on the membership roll. Is that right? And are there other people that are really, spiritually, they're members of the body, but they're not part of the church? They're out there not functioning. They're like a hand that's been amputated. It's just laying out there doing its thing. This is an interesting thing when you stop and think about it. So where is the only place where the true church will be gathered together? It'll be in heaven. All genuinely born again people will be there without exception. None will be missing. And they'll all be there. And they'll all be together. So it's very interesting when we think about the church, because church membership, a lot of people are members of churches, never been born again. So just because a person is a church member, meaning having their name on the church roll, having joined a church, doesn't mean they're generally born again, does it? Now, what is the ideal? The ideal is that the church is comprised of only genuinely converted, genuinely born-again people. But you can't go beyond a person's testimony to know that. Okay? And the ideal would be that every born-again believer would recognize his place in the body of Christ and function accordingly, which means they would identify with a local congregation. Correct? See, that would be the ideal, that every born-again believer would recognize his place as a member. By member, I mean like my arm is a member, my hand is a member, my leg is a member. These are members of my body. They're part of my body. And it would be wonderful if every born-again believer would recognize that they are a member of the body of Christ and function in relationship to the rest of the members of the body. Okay, does this help you? Because we've got to understand this thing of the church. It is really not an organization. Now, you can organize it, but it's not an organization. Organizing something does not create a church. The church is created by the life of Jesus Christ, which is ours because we've been born again. That's what creates the body. Organization does not do that. Now, you can organize the church, and you can have the body without organization and a lot of confusion. Paul said, let everything be done decently and in order. And so there are various dynamics that goes on within this thing. But the church is a body of born-again believers recognizing a common life in Christ who come together. They come out from where they are. They gather together in order to function in doing what Jesus Christ has ordained his body to do in this world. And who represents you when you go to work? How are you represented when you go to work? Somebody said, well, I'm there in spirit. Well, I want to see the body. It's your body that represents you every place you go, yes? How do you function in your world? You function through your body, is that right? How does the Lord Jesus function in this world? He doesn't function by some mystical thing going on in the air. He functions through his people. So we are the way that Jesus Christ manifests his life in a pagan world and in the saved world in the congregation. It is through us that Jesus Christ manifests. He does his work through us. We're his hands, we're his feet, we're his mouth. We are the means by which Jesus Christ ministers in our world. So the business of being the church is very, very important. Because your body only functions properly as it's all coordinated and all working together. We've had Grace's sister had a stroke, and Chris Pelletier's mother had a stroke. And what does that do? That means part of the body doesn't function anymore like it should. So it's our goal that our church shall be healthy. Every part of the body will be functioning. And here's the importance of things. You know, everybody thinks, well, because I'm not like somebody else, I'm not worth that much. You never, wait a minute. How many of you have thought about your kidneys today? How many of you could live without your kidneys? There are ugly parts of your body that without which you die. So we are who we are in order that we might function as a part of the body according to gifts and personality and what God has done with our lives to make us a part of his body, to function in an important way. Every function of the body is important, and Paul makes a big deal of this in the Corinthian epistles. Makes a huge deal of this whole thing. He said, who do you think you are? Just because you're not the ear, you think you're not important? You think you're not the voice, you're not important? Try living without your heart. How many of you thought about your heart today? Did you just take it for granted? There are parts of you that if they don't function, you don't make it. Somewhere we call it handicapped. We call it, what's the word we use instead of handicapped? Disabled? What else do we use? What's another word we use? Deformed? We say deformed. We talk about disabilities. So you think that you are a member of the body of Christ and you need to function according to your gifts and abilities, which are given specifically to edify everybody else in the body, to help them to function, to encourage them to function, to strengthen them in their functions. Some are up front, some are in the background. Doesn't matter who you are and where you are. Everyone is a very critical and very, very key component in the body of Christ. So you may think, well, you know, I'm exercising my talents for the Lord, but it's more than that. I am functioning. I'm functioning as a member of the body of Christ. And I have come out from where I am. I come together. I function as a part of the body of Christ. I come out that we might come together. We come together that we might accomplish divine purpose and that all of us might go out back out into the world and we might represent Jesus Christ, because it is through us that he speaks, he acts, he works. He has nothing going on in this world. He doesn't send angels to do this. He sends us to do it. So what we do is very significant in the mind of God. And God designed this thing. God designed this thing and put it in motion. He appointed it. He ordained it. Okay? Any questions or comments? So, church membership, I don't make enough of it. It's important. The church membership is simply an outward recognition of the fact that you're part of the body and you're committing yourself to function that way. And that's important. Very important. Very important that we do that. It's my commitment. Well, I'm going to marry her. Mashina was our lover. I don't have to marry her. No, she wants a commitment from you. Help me, ladies. Well, I know she loves me. I don't, you know. No, she's got to marry me. I want a commitment from her. I want a commitment from him. And there are commitments that we make to each other in life. And that's another thing that our culture does not do. The only commitment people make in our culture is to themselves. It's a sad day. Hope this has been helpful to you. So we're studying the church. The church is called out in order to come together, to assemble. Now, usually you'll hear a pastor say the church is a called out assembly. Well, the idea is it is called out of the world, cut out from the various places where people are, but the purpose for it is very, very important. In order that it might come together as a congregation, as an assembly. We meet together not to come to church, because we are the church. We are the church coming together. We are the body of Christ. We're the members of the body of Christ coming together to function as a body. That's why we're here tonight. We've come out from where we are, and we're assembling together to accomplish divine purpose. Very good. Good stuff. Let's stand together, shall we? Remember, please, to continue to pray for Pastor Pelletier and his family, for Chris and her family. And the Pelletiers will be traveling over the next couple of days, several days. And then remember to pray for Grace and for her family. Her sister has passed away, and we need to ask the Lord to comfort and to have a witness for himself through this experience in their lives. Heavenly Father, we are grateful that you love us. We're grateful that in your great mind of wisdom, you've put us together in this body of believers called the church. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you'll fill us with the Holy Spirit of God so that we might function, we might be a blessing and a benefit one to another, and that we might represent you in this world, that we might be your eyes and your ears, your mouthpiece, speaking for you and then doing your works and your deeds everywhere we go. We pray for Grace and her family. Blessed Lord, touch the lives of each one of them, and especially those that don't know the Lord. Pray the Spirit of God will be at work, comfort Grace's heart, and manifest your presence in a wonderful way in her life in these days, I pray. And for the Pelletiers, that you will guard them and guide them, and again, in Chris's dad's life, he so needs your encouragement and help and wisdom, and I pray that you'll just bless him in an unusual measure at this time of difficulty. For her mother, manifest your presence. I pray the Spirit of God will give her joy and your peace and your comfort in the midst of this terrific illness that she's undergone. And so, dear Lord, will you be with Pastor Crozier? Thank you, Lord, for the wonderful progress that he's making. May you bring him to total health and strength. We pray that you'll prepare us for a day on Sunday that will be filled with the blessing of God. Pray that the Spirit of God will be at work in our city, that you'll send laborers into this harvest field. And continue, Lord, to put your hand upon each one of our lives, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Great to see you, and the Lord bless you. Now function! Function!